benders and non-benders alike, welcome to Braving the Elements, Nickelodeon's podcast about all things Avatarverse. I'm Janet Varney.
And I'm Dante Bosco. Varney, I just want to let you know how funny I think you are.
What? Oh, really?
Funny looking.
No, you didn't.
Ha!
No, you did not. No, you did not. You know what? I think you're just trying to represent some of the jokes and the hijinks in Avatar, and yet I also feel that they're maybe at a much funnier threshold than whatever that was.
I mean, I can use some help.
Went little brother on me. You just went little brother on me. All right, we're excited to share with you a special rebroadcast of our conversation with brilliant comedian Ron Funches. It's happening right now. Everyone, please welcome Mr. Ron Funches.
What's
no,
up?
Me.
Welcome to the show.
Hello, it
Hi.
Is you. And I called Thanks you so Mister, just like me. You insist.
I appreciate it. It's what I love now, as I feel that I am starting to get older and gain slight respect. Some people call me Mr. Funches, which I was like, ooh, I like it.
Mr. Funches.
Do people call you Mr. Bosco?
You know what? I grew up as such a kid in the industry. I was always the youngest person on the set. When people started calling me Mr. Bosco on the set, I was like,
what?
I felt scared. I was like, what? Who are you talking to right now? Like, I'm the kid, aren't I?
Yeah.
No, you're like the oldest person on the set. I'm like, kill me now.
I will say, I feel like there's a corroboration between the people who call me Ms. Varney and mispronouncing my last name. Like, people who want to call me Ms. Varney also want to call me Ms. Varney. Like, there's...
Oh, Varney.
That's fun.
Yeah. There's like, I want to respect you, but I also don't know how to say your name. And so it kind of cancels itself
yeah,
out.
Yeah, it's special even when they mispronounce it. It's beautiful.
I guess.
It could be Funches. There's a French pronunciation here.
Funches. Sometimes people do that. Yeah.
Funches. That's gorgeous. Okay, so Ron, when you and I very first met mm-hmm. and started being around each other at all, you made my heart sing and soar because every time I saw you, you'd be like, hey, Cora. And that was like the best feeling.
Wow.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, of course. I love mm-hmm. Cora. So why wouldn't I? It was really fun to be around someone and be like, oh, I love you in this show. You're so great. And then I just know you in comedy, especially for me. At that time, I didn't know many people who were on TV shows and stuff. So it was really fun for me. Now I know a lot of people on TV shows, and I myself am on several. But still.
So the shine has worn off my luster and my glamour.
Now you should just Janet. Now, just Janet.
Good old Ms. Varney.
Ms. Varney. Yeah. When did you guys first meet? On a show or at a comedy performance?
We think we just met like at comedy rooms, which I don't do stand-up, but I guess I'd be around.
Yeah.
Maybe do a silly sketch
fest. Or...
Yeah, around Sketch Fest for sure. Ron's been doing Sketch Fest like since he stepped on a stage and we got wind of it. We're like, who's that? We need him at Sketchfest immediately. So that's been a good long while.
And where are you coming from, Ron? What part of the country do you hail from?
Well, I moved around a lot. I was born in Los Angeles, raised in Chicago. I started comedy in Portland, Oregon. And then I would go from Portland to San Francisco to do shows, or Portland to Seattle to do shows. And that's how people started to get to know me, like Janet. So I went down.
Pacific Northwest, PNW mm-hmm. in the house.
Exactly.
And then how did you find Avatar The Last Airbender and The Legend of Korra, where you met Miss Korra?
Well, I don't remember exactly how I found it, but it seemed like multiple times through my life where it's been around for me, where I think I watched it probably near the time that it debuted, I think back like 2008 or so. And then when my son was getting a little older, and once he started getting interested, I was like, oh yeah, let's just re-watch it together. And we just would go through, and I think I've bought it in DVD form and Blu-ray form, watch it on Netflix. And there was a time period, especially like I think when I was talking to you, Janet, or even a little before, where it was very important. You know, sometimes you get these shows that get to you at the right time. And if you had asked me at that time period, like Avatar and stuff was like I don't want to be blasphemous and say like a religion, but like the book The Secret or like these other like self-help books where I was like, oh, I'm really learning a lot from watching this show about friendship and your own self-confidence and your own inner power and things of that nature. And I just always love the show, and I try to rewatch it at least every year or so, and just find time when it comes to me. And then especially when the Cora the book came out, I was like, oh my god, completely different story, way different from the first one, completely different characters, but I love it just as much, and it has my favorite character in the whole universe, which is Bolin, who is like, that's like my spirit in that universe. And I felt like I had that same journey as him, where he was like, you know, kind of looked over and underutilized, and no one saw much in him, and he's just kind of the side guy helping other people in their journeys. And then you see that he has this great talent of helping people, of bringing light and joy and out through his acting and being in movies and things, and then he becomes super popular, and I'm like, that's what I want. And then it started happening a little bit, and so I was like, I always love, because it's just, to me, he didn't have any bending powers, but he showed the true power of like humor and light and what that can really do for people and for being a friend, what that can really do. And that's what I love. I love the universe.
I love that so much. Wow. I don't think we ever fully had that conversation about Bolin. So that makes my heart so happy. I feel like, do you also identify with Sokka as being sort of like the brainy, silly guy in Avatar? Or is he too sort of like sarcastic and cocky?
Yeah, he was more like, to me, we're going to get deep that into it. Like,
he's extra.
Yeah, he's got more confidence than I felt like I would have had at like that time period. So, to me, he's like that Eddie Murphy, Richard Pryor type of comedian.
Love that.
Where Bolin is more like Mitch Hedberg or something. And that's where I was like, you know, and a guy who like, where he's just chill until you shine that light on him, you know. And that's what I see in Bolin a lot. But no, I love Sokka. Sokka's great.
I love those comparisons with all my heart. I don't think I've ever heard anyone, I mean, I haven't. Like, no one has ever paralleled those people to those people. That makes me so happy, because you've just joined two of my favorite worlds, comedy and Avatar The Last Airbender. So this is very satisfying.
What's a very funny
show. I want to see those in the tweets. I want to see people compare comics of all time to characters in Avatarverse.
I'm into it. I'm way into it.
Your uncle, very dry comedian, like a Stephen Wright style comedian.
Brilliant. So before we go too much deeper into the Avatarverse and book two and comedy moments, we did want to ask for your help. I'm springing this on you, but our mutual friend, Jason Mantzoukas, another person in the comedy world who is wickedly funny, who I felt such a kinship and affection for, much like I did with you, when I found out that he loved the Avatarverse, because, you know, sometimes in the comedy world, everything's like very snarky, or you sort of feel like it's not, you got to be cool and not be like too into something unless it's really like mean and cool. And knowing that Jason was like, felt the same way about you, which is like, this is a touch point show for him, like goes back to it year after year and feels like he's learning lessons about who he is as a person, which Dante and I feel exactly the same way. He was like, so what do you call your listeners? And we were like, oh yeah, that's a thing that people do. They have names for like their right. listeners, their group, their people. So we asked, when we had him on, we're like, help us come up with some names. We started to get a handful of suggestions. We pulled some today to see if you have any feelings about the ones that we pulled from Twitter. And Dante, do you mind reading a couple
of
these tweets?
I'll read that we have. Right. Okay, so from at Josh Lombard says, just listen to today's podcast. Might I suggest pro bravers as a term for those that listen regularly? A play on pro benders from the Korra era. Love the show. Y'all keep up the great work.
And then pro bravers.
Pro bravers. Mm-hmm. And then at like Firespark 71, name suggestion for Braving the Elements fan base, the Rough Buddies. A reference to Rough Rhinos and the classic phrase, that's rough, buddy. And lastly,
I like the rough buddies.
From at Trithis 277, my bid for what to call us, to take a page out of Avatar Legends playbook, pun intended, we could be foundlings since we were all basically raised by all the nations of the Avatarverse and are now braving the elements.
Ooh. I mean,
so
I love
we
the
got pro bravers,
all.
The rough buddies, and foundlings.
Any of those singing to you, Ron?
Out of the three, I like foundlings. I think like I love the reasoning behind it. It's easy. It seems like something that you could put on a shirt, but like people wouldn't be like, "That's silly. What does that mean?" You know, it's like I think it's fun like that. But also, I will recommend cabbage heads. That's it.
Oh,
cabbage heads. Oh,
that is so good.
That's why. That's why you're working all the time.
Yes, that is a strong contender. I don't feel prepared to make this call right now.
We gotta have people weigh in on the cabbage heads
big time. I like all of those. I think those all come from great places. I love the thought that went into it. You guys who have submitted
it's
stuff
a good
so far,
community.
Fantastic. I think with that in mind, we should get into some of our classic questions for Mr. Ron Funches. What do you think?
Mr. Funches, Boylan Funches. First of all, we'd like to ask all our guests, what is your favorite hybrid animal in the Avatar universe?
Oh, I mean, yeah, I just go with the original. To me, Appa is the best. Yeah. Like, loyal, fun, brave, just the best. Like, licks you and then, like, can make your whole body with your tongue. That seems like what you want in a pet.
Yeah,
like,
if you had
that's a golden retriever taken to the ultimate level. And that's what I would want.
Yeah. I'm just going to throw this out. Do we know what two animals make up that there?
Well, bison.
Yes, bison. Yes, bison. And I only say this because the first episode we revealed this and I did not know. And then people were looking at me like, what? You didn't know? I'm like, no one else knew either.
But then they were like, but you were on the show, dude.
But you watched the show.
It's also fun that I can imagine right now people are yelling it. Yeah, the people who know.
Ron, they're yelling at you. I'm going to drop a little knowledge on you. It's half bison, half manatee.
What? That doesn't seem like you could fly.
I know. Well, he's flying in the water.
That's because
the manatee.
He's an airbender. It's the airbender is what makes him flyable.
Right.
And then the manatee and the bison are
And if you Google manatee and you see the picture of the manatee that comes up that's just kind of floating in the water, it's Appa. It's essentially a silhouette of Appa. It's amazing.
And listen, we did not tee this up in any way, shape, or form, but I will just say, coincidentally, there is a fundraiser that we have going for savethemanatee.org/Appa. If you go to savethemanatee.org/Appa, it's our For the Love of Appa campaign, and we're raising money to save the manatees in real life down in Florida. It's a great organization, so if you have time and the will and effort and heart to do it, please contribute. If not, feel free to spread the word. Did not tee that up, but I thank you both for
perfectly
giving me the opportunity to mention fundraiser.
That's what we're here for.
I mean,
shout out to all the manatees out there and the flying ones too.
I know we got some manatees listening right now.
I know there's a few of them out there.
Okay, let's talk about some relationships, some ships. Ron, a controversial subject in the Avatarverse as it is in every verse because people have very strong feelings about their ships. Do you have favorite ships in the Avatarverse in The Last Airbender?
Whether it's canon or not.
Oh, yeah. No, I got mine. And so I love my favorite one and that is canon is Korra and Asami. That's a great one.
Of course. Korra, Asami, forever.
Absolutely. But then my favorite would be Korsami Lin, Korra Asami and Bolin as a thruple. That lived
as
together.
A thruple?
He's okay with it.
Strongly
he
support.
Oh.
Strongly support this ship.
Yeah.
This makes me very happy.
Wow, he went to a thruple.
Yeah. You know, I just want him to have the life that I want to lead.
Hey.
I love Bolin. I think that's wonderful. Oh, everybody's going to bring something different to that. That makes me very happy. Mm-hmm. I love it. What about the big one? Dee, why don't you take
the big question.
Take us home. Yeah.
The big question, Ron, is in the Avatarverse, if you can be a bender of the elements, which element would you bend?
I see there's like desire and then there's what I would feel would be reality.
Understood.
Like,
go for what the desire is. Let's go.
Well, I mean, I feel like if anything, I work and live with emotions and moving them around and being fluid with them. So I feel like waterbending is where I would be. But I'm also very stoic and chill. And so like there's a earthly qualities to me. And so I feel like at the end of the day, I would just only be able to throw mud at people. Like, it would be just a mix of water and earth.
What is that? Like the NBA?
Well, it's not unlike the swamp benders. You got some marshy.
It is a swamp bender. Yeah, you could be a swamp
muddy.
Bender.
Yeah, that's me.
Swamp
also,
bending.
One of the most spiritual, aware, amazing characters in that was the guy in the swamp who tells us that time and death are an illusion. So
yeah.
You may be moving some mud around, but you're also blowing everyone's mind with beautiful, deep thoughts. I love it.
That's what I want to do. Thank you so much. But in real life, I'd just be one of the hippies in the cave.
That's also good.
That's also great.
Oh, the Cave of Two Lovers. Yeah, that's a beautiful episode. Gotta always give a shout out to Dante, your brother, and Lorraine Newman and Dee Bradley Baker.
My brother Derek Bosco in the cave.
Yeah, some of our favorite
people. Of course, Dee Bradley Baker.
I didn't know Lorraine Newman was
in Lorraine's the
cave.
Girl. She's like, it's all about love, man. Like, that's Lorraine.
Oh, that makes
Isn't that
sense.
Great?
Yeah. I love her. She's the best. She sent me Tupperware when my wife got married. She's so sweet.
She sent you Tupperware?
Yeah.
See?
I don't even think I've ever even met her in real life, but she sent me Tupperware when me and my wife got married.
That's so weird and so wonderful. Okay, so that's actually a great example of a very, very funny episode on the funny side of Avatar. But so, okay, we got all these different types of comedy. I don't want to kill the conversation about comedy by getting too in the weeds. Yet at the same time, I feel like this is a show that does a lot of different styles of comedy very well. So, you know, you got your goofball, kooky, silly, you know, your sight gags, your sort of more Nickelodeon, maybe like there's little bodily noises and things like that, which I always feel like I don't want to laugh at and then realize they're really funny. And so I continue to laugh at them the older I get. Nothing gets less funny. You got your sarcasm. So we sort of see that in Sokka and Toph, like things that are super absurd that we also see in the Avatarverse. Ron, do you have like a style of comedy that you feel drawn to over and over? Not just like maybe it doesn't even have to be like the comedy you like to do or be in, but just like stuff that makes you laugh when you're watching it.
Oh, I think I'm very open to lots of different styles of comedy. I guess overall, I like story-driven comedy. I like my humor and everything to be driven off of what's happening in real life. I think especially as I get older, I find less in common with like absurdist humor, which I think when I was young, I was all about, and I was all about, especially for myself and the way I do it, I was all about, let me show you how smart I am, how many tricks, how much wordplay I can use in a joke. And now I'm more like, let me tell you about my life and let me tell you about my story. And I think like the relationship between Zuko and Uncle is one of the funniest things that, I mean, it's like heartwarming and sweet and a lot of things, but just the way they speak to each other as family does, in the way that there is love and care, but also there is this like, you need to get yourself together and you gotta, and just Uncle is just very funny as a character and just very dry. But also, I love how silly and weird Milo is with snot hanging out of his nose. So I like both.
Totally. Totally.
What about mime? Do you guys like mime? How you guys about mime? Mime comedy.
Mime comedy?
Anything, Barney? Bunches?
Hold on. This is a podcast. Let me do some of my best mime work for everyone. I'll take it over to physical comedy. When that is done well, it's beautiful. Yeah, I'll watch a mime.
Always got time for a mime.
I can dig some mime.
Listen. You don't have to say a word, yet it's a universal thing that everyone can understand is meant to be funny. Sure. Yeah. Mime it up.
Truthfully, one of the great things about the show is there is this comedy that comes every so often in the show that is like just essential to the show as anything else is. And it's hard to, you know, you see shows that came that got inspired by Avatar and try to bring it into it. And then bringing that comedy is always a hard part. Or when just anime in general, when they try to do live actions of anime and doing all the great things of a lot of animes and then add that. I don't know. It's hard for them to get. It's weird.
That's a really good point. Trying to translate cartoon comedy into live action has the opportunity to not succeed a lot. Do you agree with that, Ron?
Absolutely, because you're taking away one of his strengths, which is the ability to be as surreal as possible. There's rules in your mind that you will allow a cartoon to have that you won't allow a live action to have. And so if you start seeing things that break that reality in your mind, you'll reject it. But when it's animated, it gets a little bit more of a leeway. And I think the same way in the messaging. From a youth, I always found like, you know, it's fun, so many messages and so many things that you can hide in things like graphic novels or animated shows that you couldn't put in a live action show. And yeah. I think that's some of the beauty of it. So to me, sometimes things are just meant to be what they are. And you just gotta let a great animated show be a great animated show.
Agreed. Like in real life, and I'm going to give a couple of examples. Well, to give an example from book one before we get into book two, the fortune teller to me has, you know, and this is something that like, that's one of those episodes that sometimes people are like, yeah, like it's fun. And yeah, you find out maybe some stuff that goes towards canon, but it also feels a little bit like it's just a side story or Madame Wu. And that's kind of woo woo or whatever. There's so much funny stuff in that episode. That's the episode where the platypus bear, we see a platypus bear anxiously and fearfully lay an egg, which is freaking gorgeous. And then also just the whole exchange of Sokka's frustration in that episode where people are like, of course fortune telling is the only way we know how things work. Like, can your science explain why it rains? And Sokka's like, yes! Yes, it yes. can! Love the moment in the Water Rating Scroll where Katara is like, you know, everyone's gathered all together and Katara is like, you know, this is really my fault. Someone else is like, no, no. And then Iroh, of all people, like over on the side, is like, it kind of is. It's like,
it is.
Beautiful, dry Iroh
stole
moment.
The scroll.
Katara. Not expecting it to come from Iroh. Comes from Iroh. Makes me happy.
It's just truth telling. Truth. That's some of the best humor is just telling the truth in moments
yes.
where people don't expect you to.
Yes. That is beautiful. And that is so very, very Iroh. Where we are in the show, you heard in the intro, Ron, that we've just been going through like Tales of Ba Sing Se, which has some great funny moments in it, but is also very emotional because of different, you know, struggles that people are going through and Momo trying to find Appa. And then we roll right into Appa's Lost Days, which is heartbreaking in many ways. So we are doing our sort of comic relief. We haven't got to Lake Laogai yet, but in this sort of handful of episodes, are there any things that like call out to you as favorite moments, either of you, from episodes in book two?
Of course. The caves, people going in the cave, all getting lost in the cave all day with hippies, with Lorraine Newman. It's classic. It's such a fun episode.
It's funny. It kind of comes out of nowhere in the Avatar verse. You're like, where are those guys from? Like they sound so modern and kind of like dude-ish, bro-ish kind of people, like hippies. Groovy, yeah,
totally.
Groovy. It's like, where did these people come from? And then it's not like a one-liner and then leave. It's like, they're there the whole episode.
Yeah.
And then Sokka has a very real reaction to them that I think a lot of it's like, come on, you guys are killing me.
Yeah, he's the real-life proxy for us with how out there they are, but so adorable. I love that too. I've made no secret about the fact that I am super into that bird that screams in the swamp. That is very Simpsons to me. Just like, you know, you're trying to sleep and all of a sudden you hear a horrible human shriek and then you look over and it's just a bird that sounds like that. That makes me very happy. And I would say on par with that for me in terms of animal humor in this book, the prairie dogs that sing at the beginning of the library, they're like la la la, extraordinarily
just
cute
funny
and funny
details.
To me, I'm a sucker for those animals.
I mean, the pro wrestling, like the Blind Bandit stuff.
Yeah.
I grew up loving pro wrestling, so I just grew up in the Hulk Hogan era and Jimmy Superfly Snuka, but just a throwback to that era and it done so well and so was just comedy, I think, to me. And I don't even know.
I love that one as well.
Yeah, the kids that have the same feeling towards it that when they watch it for the first time, but like the people that were older thinking about those days, it's like, it's it's hilarious. Randy Savage, like, it's just like those, oh yeah, I totally got the same feeling from when they're introducing him and how the characters are acting and the wrestlers are talking. It's just this almost farcical, theatrical,
yeah,
fun thing.
It's just got a guy named The Boulder, and The Boulder is so a great smart name to have.
Yeah, it's like, and also it makes me happy when, because, you know, sometimes things get parodied that are funny in and of themselves, and therefore it doesn't almost work as a parody. Whereas, like, and because pro wrestling is funny, like, it's genuinely very funny, and there are very funny, talented people in wrestling who then also come out of wrestling and do other stuff if they want to. I love that this is, like, it's, you can tell that it's about the love of pro wrestling. It's not, like, trying to make fun of a thing that's already right. Meta. Does that make sense? Now I really am getting
that's
like,
exactly what I was
course.
About to say, so I wasn't going to say it anymore, but that's exactly what I was going to say. That's what great world building and the thing I love in lots of art, whether it's shows or music, when I'm like, oh, they love something that I love too. Someone that works there also loves the things that I love. And you can tell when you watch that scene that it wasn't making fun of pro wrestling. It was a send up and a love of it.
Totally. I should have just let you say it. I had no idea that you
and no, it's okay. It makes it, but then it would have been like I stole it from you. So it's better this way.
Never. What else? Somebody suggested we be called the Cabbage Head, so I assume you enjoy a certain
yes
someone who pops back up.
Cabbage
back
Merchant? I mean, the fact yeah. that Cabbage Merchant is all around, it's great.
He's a great runner. That's what every good show needs is a classic runner where something just continues to happen over and over. You never know when it's going to happen. It always happens in different ways, but it's always funny. And just to have...
It's a crowd pleaser.
Exactly. And again, to go back to what you said, Janet, to me, it reminds me of another, like, not to the Simpsons of the character who's always down on his luck, old Gil, who yes. always just needed a job.
Poor
and
Gil.
The Cabbage Merchant was the same thing where he's just like, oh, I'm just trying to sell you cabbage. Oh, every time my cabbages. And it's just, it's so funny.
It's very like his life should be so simple and easy. And it's that feeling that we all can relate to where it's like, I'm not asking for much. Like, I just have a cart of cabbages, y'all. I'm not trying to overthrow a government. I'm not trying to do anything crazy. Yet, you are causing me to have a nervous breakdown over this tiny, simple thing I'm doing, which, like, who cannot relate to that? Because I feel like that's like when your computer is not working when you need it to most, and you're like, oh, come on, really?
And you got to think about how determined and proud he is of his cabbages. He never stops. No. He gets right back out there.
It brings the everyday man right into the Avatarverse. Everyone could be the Cabbage Man. We all are the Cabbage Man. But 100%. Speaking of crowd pleasers, there's Cactus Juice. The Cactus Juice episode, which had a lot of stuff happens, but the audience at large call it the Cactus Juice episode. And just Sokka drinking that Cactus Juice and going on a, you know, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas kind of situation is... Even just thinking about it now makes me laugh. It's crazy and fun, and I'm surprised someone hasn't bottled that Cactus Juice up yet, because that thing is a winner, 100% winner.
Yeah, I would say that's a real example, and I'm sure we said it when we talked about that episode, but I don't know if we hit it home enough that, like, it makes me really happy that Nickelodeon was like, yes, Sokka can go on a mystical trip by consuming
they let
cactus.
Him go way
like,
out.
That's a grown-up thing to, you know, to joke about.
That's a real thing.
Right? Okay, and then I guess we got to shout out Toph. And part of her, what makes her so great is like her own sarcasm.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think she's just very real. That's what I see with her. I don't necessarily like the making fun of her. I'm the kind of the opposite in the fact that I don't usually enjoy that type of humor. I don't enjoy when people, especially if it's done falsely, to lower yourself down in order to make other people comfortable, is not something that I'm usually into. But what I love about a character like Toph and her jokes is that it's not usually coming at this thing, like you guys said, it's not to make other people feel more relaxed. It's to make them uncomfortable. Uh-huh. It's to make her herself laugh. Right. She's humoring herself. And that's what makes her so... funny to me is that it's like the real life of, like, you know, like my son has autism, and at some point you don't sit around, especially if you were born blind or if you or whatever type of differently abled disability that you have, like, at some point for most people it's just part of your life. It does not define you, and right. so it right. doesn't define her. It's just a part. She goes, yeah, I'm blind, I'll make jokes about it if it comes out, but it's right. not this thing of like, oh, woe is me, or I'm putting myself down. It's just like, I'm confident with, I'm so tough, I'm strong, I'm smart, I'm everything, and I'm also, I happen to be blind, so I make fun of it sometimes, and that's what I love about it.
That's exactly what it is. It's very funny, and I mean, she's one of everyone's favorite characters, particularly on the side of comedy, and we'll talk about that in a second, because we definitely asked people online what some of their favorite moments were from the show, from book two, and unsurprisingly, Toph comes up a lot. In fact, let's start with the AK Mendz, AKMENDZ on Twitter, simply wrote, "There it is!" And I knew exactly what they were talking about. We know that it is when they are looking for the library. All they see is this vast expanse of sand. And Toph calls out excitedly, "There it is." And has to remind everyone shortly thereafter, like, is what you would hear from me if I had seen it. And it's a great moment. It's a great moment. A lot of people into "There it is."
Classic moment. Simple, quick joke, the best type.
Yep. Dante, you want to read the top couple of ones from Twitter and Instagram?
Yeah, so the Lonely Will on Twitter says, "Totally underrated, but Sokka's haiku battling." Yes, that very funny haiku battle scene. I thought it was hilarious. I come from the spoken word poetry scene, and you know, we take ourselves seriously sometimes, but also there's room for comedy and humor and lightness, and hey, Sokka had bars, so I give it up to Sokka.
That's right.
And even the comedy of him, you know, the last one, we had one too many syllables. One too many syllables there, Sokka. Hilarious. So all of that was really funny and really even detailed within the poetry scene, which I thought was really funny and cool.
Agreed.
Salon Fire on Instagram says, "Sokka triumphantly declaring, I'd like to spend my vacation at the library," which,
very
again,
funny.
I mean, Sokka's funny.
That was a great, like,
everything.
Anime moment too, right? Didn't they do like a whole thing around that? And
I mean, who wants to go to the library? They're all trying to take a vacation. They're trying to take some time off, and they have to go to the library. Are you serious?
Yeah.
You're going to the library right now?
I know a couple people who would love that.
I know, you know, but there's certain things as I've gotten older. I go on vacation. Like, as a kid, you couldn't get me to museum. The museum? Are we flew on a plane to get to this wherever we're at, and we want me to go to the museum? Now it's like, that's the first place I'm trying to go, which is comedy to me now somehow.
Yeah, now trying to go to the museum and eat some Brussels sprouts.
Eat some Brussels sprouts, some
totally.
Local fare.
You're like, ooh, they got Brussels sprouts.
What? Farm to table here?
100%. Quick shout out to Bernsko on Instagram, who said the Sugar Queen and the I'm completely calm moments from the chase when Katara just starts to lose it and unravel. We talked about this when we recapped the episode and that episode of Braving the Elements, but like, that really hits home for me. It makes me really happy when I can laugh at my own moodiness based on lack of sleep. Let's turn it into comedy. I don't need to be feeling bad about it. Let's just turn it into comedy. I'm a baby. I'm an infant. And when I don't get enough sleep, I go a little crazy. That's fine. No big deal. I'm a human.
No big deal.
Makes me happy.
Well, Cindy Lauren Paul on Instagram and Tibbler Nibbler on Twitter both say, like, when Iroh's like, this tea is nothing more than hot leaf juice. And Zuko's like, Uncle, that's what all tea is. Uncle Iroh, how could a member of my own family say something so horrible? Yes, you guys, hot leaf juice is hilarious and so right. And I every time I drink tea to this day, I think, I just bought me some hot leaf juice for a prime price. And I start to think, you know, it's just wild. It's just so funny and so true. But it is hot leaf juice. That's what it is.
It's delightful.
It is, and that's hilarious. But it always, that made me feel bad, because I always think of the world where I'm like, oh, I really wish they got to live in this world where they just ran a successful tea cafe and just got to go on dates and live his life. He deserves it.
Uncle was so fueled by rage. You're so right. That's such a good, it's like the snapshot where you're like, oh, what if it were just that? Like, oh, life. It's beautiful.
He would be great at it. People would go travel from every nation to go to that tea shop.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I drink this tea and I like tea. I'm into tea. But I'm always marveled at the fact that there was a time in the world where it was the most popular drink in the world. From England to China.
Yeah.
You know that old saying, what's that got to do with the price of tea in China?
Yeah.
Tea was the gold mark of the world. Like, the price of tea in China set the currency. Part of the U.S. Revolution and the Boston Tea Party was over tea.
Yeah.
It was over tea talk, you guys.
Ooh, I love how much you know about tea.
I can't believe we haven't done a tea episode.
You guys, it was over tea.
All right. This will not surprise anyone. Most popular responses on social media from the question of what is your favorite funniest moment from book two. Number one, cactus juice, cactus juice, cactus juice. Number two, hot leaf juice. And number three,
people love juice.
There it is.
So those were the most popular responses. We have missed so many because there's so much funny stuff packed into this entire show, much less book two.
We're talking about comedy in the show. It makes you think, you know, how this comedy has to come from Mike and Brian to a degree. The creators are two dads of the show, which their humor, I mean, Mike's a little more subdued, but I can see Brian having a little more zanier comedy side to him. But it has to come from the creators.
They populated their writer's room with a bunch of comedy writers, too. Remember, we've had a bunch of them on, so that's their
fault, too.
We love our two dads. Ron Funches, thank you so much for doing this episode with us and coming on the show. We were so excited to have you. And perhaps if there's a favorite episode you have from book three, as things really stir up, come back, or we'll save all.
Yeah, come back.
You
let's
can
get
come
into
back
core
as much when we get, when, as you want.
Come back when we get into core, because I'm going to be getting into it, and I need to know more about how you're thinking about things.
Absolutely, give me more reasons to go back and rewatch. I would love that anytime.
Is there anything you want people to check out? You want to promote anything? You want to tell people where to find you? That's what we want to hear from you.
I'm in a show called Loot with Maya Rudolph on Apple TV that people can check out. The full season's out on Apple TV right now. I play King Shark on Harley Quinn on HBO Max if people want to check that one out, if it's a little bloodier.
King Shark.
Great show, though.
People can look out for next, since this is Nickelodeon, coming out next year. I'm on a cartoon called Rock, Paper, Scissors that'll be coming out on Nickelodeon next year. So hopefully, it's nothing like Avatar, but if they, hopefully they'll still check it out.
I think it's wonderful. So everybody got to check it out.
And where can we find you on social media, Ron?
Oh, just Twitter at Ron Funches. You can go ronfunches.com if you ever want to see me do stand-up comedy, because I like doing that. And then Instagram, just Ron Funch.
Ron Funch, everybody.
Go find Ron, y'all.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you so much for joining us this week.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be able to talk about, you know, it's not often you get to find a little corner, a little place where you can just talk about something you really love. It's what I enjoy, whether, you know, I love talking about pro wrestling or video games or animation. And again, like I said, this show meant a lot for me in a lot of ways. And so it's a pleasure to be able to talk about it. So thank you for having me.
Oh, man, he's the best. All right, everybody, thank you so much for listening to Avatar Braving the Elements. And hey, make sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a review. All of that really helps the podcast so much. And we love you guys. Next week is our 100th episode of the podcast. Can you believe it? And we are bringing back...
Are you serious?
I know. It's so crazy.
It's wild.
So to celebrate, we thought we would bring back the development executive who gave Avatar the green light for Nickelodeon, the incredible CEO of Avatar Studios, Mr. Eric Coleman. You can follow me on social media at the JV Club on Instagram and at Janet Varney on Twitter.
And I'm at Dante Bosco on both of those.
We'll see you next Tuesday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.